I'm Josh Harris with Allison DeLule at AM 1160 The Quest at 7:21 a.m. And I have the privilege, we have the privilege of sitting down with someone who we are both big fans of, Father Michael Silloway, who had the privilege of attending the National Eucharistic Congress. There's so much to unpack here, but why don't you just give us a little taste of what is this all about?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me too. The National Eucharistic Congress was an incredible moment. As they even said in kind of their tagline as they're preparing for this thing, they're like, every movement needs a moment. And so this whole movement comes from this idea that the church in the United States in particular, but across the world in general, we have a waning understanding of the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. You may remember a couple of years ago, the study came out. I can't remember which research organization did this, but ask Catholics, the people in the pews and anybody who really just calls themselves a Catholic, do you believe that Jesus Christ is actually present in the Eucharist? And the vast majority of people said, not quite. Wow. Like, so it was something around 30% said that they strongly believed that. And it was kind of a wake-up moment for the church in America, but particularly for the bishops. Be like, we've missed something. We have been not leading our people in fidelity to what Jesus Christ gave us. So it started this movement of saying we need to bring about Eucharistic revival, have people encounter the Eucharistic Lord in a fresh way, theologically speaking, spiritually speaking, and just in their own personal lives. Like, this is the greatest gift Jesus gave to us, and we fumbled the football in a really big way. And so it was kind of a wake-up moment. So the idea of the movement was, let's take 3 years to prepare for the 10th National Eucharistic Congress. There's been 9 congresses before this one, throughout the course of the church in the United States history.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where the last one was. There was an International Eucharistic Congress in Philadelphia, but back in the 1940s, there was the last National Eucharistic Congress. We're talking 80 years ago. Wow. And they wanted to have 3 years to prepare for this Eucharistic Congress. And there was supposed to be like a lot of initiatives within the diocese and within each individual parish. Not a whole lot was done with that, to be honest, but a lot, all the energy was put forward into, let's have this moment where we bring the church in America together, anybody who can make it, and we're going to meet in Indianapolis, and we're going to host the 10th National Eucharistic Congress. And it was amazing, amazing. Truly, I believe a definitive moment for the church in the United States.
Wow. And I've seen photos of that Coliseum or that stadium.
It was the Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis where the Colts play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where Peyton Manning became the GOAT, all this.
Wow. And the real GOAT was in the room, right?
The true greatest of all time. Exactly.
Exactly. And so I think about this snapshot and some of the photos or videos I've seen, it really looked like a foretaste of heaven. I mean, everybody, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, just loving Christ in reverent adoration and celebration.
I wish I could show a picture through the airwaves so I could show you, and it was a literal picture I took, but it's ingrained so deep in my own mind and my own heart. So we're in that stadium every night of that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights for 3 hour revival session. And I like to go up into the very nosebleeds, the very top of the stadium. Oh, I'm talking literally, there's no seats higher. You're above all the press boxes and everything, but you're looking down on this entire stadium and you see all the people. There's over 5,000 people on the floor, the field of the stadium, mm-hmm. but then the stands are full of people as well. But kind of what I guess would be somewhere around like the 35-yard line is the altar. And you have people all around the altar, and then you have the stage behind it in the end zone far at the other end of the stadium. So the altar was kind of in the middle, almost to the middle. And so just everybody gathered around the Lord, praising him. And for these holy hours, they would usually dim the lights with just spotlights coming down onto our Lord and the Eucharist. And you just kind of get that faint haze of the incense rising up.
Wow.
And people singing or sitting in silence, just adoration. There's beautiful adoration. It was everything we had heard throughout the course of the day through these impact sessions, the big banger Catholic speakers we've got right now. They were all there sharing, giving witnesses and testimonies and teachings, and all of it coming together. It's like you use that word foretaste. Mm. Yeah, it felt like heaven, especially being there and being able to see just down on the whole stadium of all the people gathered around, all hearts, minds locked in on Jesus Christ right there in the middle.
Oh my goodness. I'm just floored hearing that. I I've heard that people saying that that's really what it was like, just this moment of where heaven and earth intersected, obviously in the Eucharist, but just in the air, you could feel the unifying force, as well as I've heard that it is the only time anyone has ever experienced a room full of 60,000 people where you could hear a pin drop.
Definitely. Mm. Definitely. So when the Eucharist would be processed in for the beginning of the Holy Hour, we'd sing on the first night, they sang the Pange Lingua and then into the O Salutaris, the typical hymns that lead up into adoration. Silence.
Wow.
And just so incredibly peaceful. Not even like a cell phone going off randomly. Like that happens all the time everywhere, but it didn't happen there. And there's a lot of families brought their little kids. Mm-hmm. No, like screaming children, like, which would have been wonderful, by the way, which would have been a church that's not crying is dying. But like everybody just honed in. And yeah, you could absolutely, a stadium of 60,000 people and it was dead silent in worship and adoration. And then there would be some music. And each night there was a different theme to the Holy Hour that we'd have. So different styles of prayer. But I want to share that in another time when we can get back together and just share some of those graces. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my heart is, I want to hope forever changed. And I want it to stay changed by that experience there and not just let it be something that happened in Indianapolis back in July, but something that is impacting me as a priest and as a disciple of Jesus Christ, but also as a pastor shepherding the people of All Saints. I'm the pastor of All Saints Catholic Church, by the way, the best parish in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. And but letting the fire that the Lord ignited there in the hearts of all the people go out. And so that's why I kind of want to take a few opportunities with y'all to continue just diving into what happened at this incredible event.
So some of the speakers and some of those that were there playing music, can you give us more information about that?
Oh man, pretty much if you've heard of them before,
they were there.
They were there. It's so like the ones that stick out like in the top of my memory. You had Jonathan Rumi, the guy who plays Jesus on The Chosen.
Yeah.
You had Bishop Robert Barron. You had Father Mike Schmitz. You had Mother Adela. You had Mother Olga. You had Sister Miriam James was one of the principal MCs, along with Father Josh Johnson, who does a lot of stuff with Ascension. Bishop Andrew Cousins, the bishop of Crookston, Minnesota, who's kind of the
quarterback of the whole thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's the head of
exactly.
The conference.
So he led the opening sessions and kind of different highlights throughout. Sister Josephine Garrett, other names are escaping me in the moment, but I mean, how could I forget? Matt Maher was doing music. Sarah Kroger was doing music. Yeah. The Vigil Project was doing music.
The Vigil Project was there?
The Vigil Project was there. Cool. Floriani, this incredible group of, it's just four dudes who want to kind of help bring about revitalization of chant and polyphony within the liturgy. They had one of the Holy Hours. So like all of these different expressions I should say it this way, all these different hearts that have been impacted by the Lord in different ways and called in different ways, all sharing their gifts and the Holy Spirit using all of it to just really inspire the church.
That is amazing. Well, I am so inspired and I am thrilled for us to continue this in part two, where we are going to unpack a whole lot more prayer, how this is pushing the church forward, saints. That being said, I'm Josh Harris.
And Allison DeLuel.
We look forward to our next conversation with Father Michael Siloway.
Thanks, y'all.
We return to the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest.